Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, good afternoon. This is another episode of Realpolitik, and I am your host, Firas Mohdad. Today I want to talk a little bit about the United States, and I just want to share some thoughts with you because it seems to me that the choice the Americans are facing is really between civil war and tyranny, and I'll go through it and try to explain it. If you try to think about the main problems facing the United States, the number one issue, obviously, is immigration. The transformation of the country that has been happening for decades now with the introduction of new immigration laws that gradually opened up the states to the entire world and fundamentally changed its character to the extent that now most major American cities have Hindu festivals, let alone the at least Christian, Mexican, and other events. Second thing to think about is the loss of Christian identity that's happening in the states. The country is becoming increasingly secularized. The secularists obviously don't reproduce as much, but they do manage to convert people to their side. The third issue is foreign influence and the extent to which special interest groups can influence American policy. The fourth really is the oligarchic takeover and the concentration of technological powers in the hands of a small elite that doesn't really wish the United States a lot of good. And really, it all boils down to some kind of loss of confidence that the Americans are experiencing. They don't seem to trust themselves as much. They seem to have lost their way, really. Let's start by thinking about what's happening with these topics and what the administration has been doing about them. Now, on immigration, one good thing that the Trump admin did do was basically impose $100,000 on every new H-1B visa. They didn't do anything to revoke the older visas. They did some tinkering on the edges, stranded a bunch of Indians in India, but not really transformative. And they went ahead with a big expansion of the H-2B visas from around 120,000 to add another 60, 70,000 new migrants, which in the grand scheme of things isn't as big. But what we've seen in the past is that when these doors open, they slowly open wider and wider and they almost never close. And with the deportations, it's really been a big failure. The official data is there's maybe something like 350,000 people deported. By contrast, Joe Biden might have brought in anything between 10 and 15 million new people into the United States, which now, after the ruling from the Supreme Court, can all basically give birth to new American citizens, regardless of their legal status. And the Supreme Court completely failed to put an end to the naturalization of the second generation of illegal migrants and to birth tourism. And just as a quick example, from my tiny neck of the woods in Lebanon, there's a couple of dozen people at least in a tiny village in the middle of nowhere who I know of, who already have American citizenship because of this kind of birth tourism. And it's just so widespread, you wouldn't even believe it. You don't know what to do about it. And when it comes to the demographic picture, well, the white births in the United States are actually a minority of all births. They're around 49% of all live births are to white Americans. And not to be more racist than usual or anything like that, but this is important because the United States is only recognizable as a people, and that people has a European and predominantly Anglo background, and it's that cultural heritage that makes the United States what it is. if it had stayed, if I'd ended up being Spanish or French or German or Russian, it wouldn't be recognizable, let alone if it turned out to be, I don't know, Indian or Arab or any other group or just a very mixed group. So when you look at the demographics of the United States, white Americans are a minority in the coming generation. They are a minority of births as of last year. And the idea that this doesn't have a transformative effect is simply laughable. I mean, I don't want to preach to the choir. You probably all agree with me. But this is a stark reality. And what we've seen on the left is this coalition of different racial groups that is primarily aimed at destroying the Anglo and Christian culture of the United States. Even the Hispanics, probably more than half of them are in one way or another white or whitish. But that's not how they view themselves. They view themselves as fundamentally in conflict with the Anglos. And so the demographic change that's happened in the United States is pretty catastrophic, really. And when it comes to the loss of Christian identity, the Trump administration has taken some actions over this issue. They've tried to basically set up a religious liberty board. And the first thing that they did was kick out some Catholic influencer who said that she didn't like Israel. They published reports on how religious liberty is being restricted. But they didn't end up doing something that is substantial on it. All they ended up doing was impose some rule changes for the federal agencies that run the American civil service and tell them you have to be a little bit more inclusive of people's religious practices and you can't in any way openly discriminate against Christians. The problem with that is that if you look at the quality of judges that were appointed under Biden, for example, these judges will absolutely and always side with religious restrictions on Christians. They will always do it. And since the changes happened only to regulations, not even to laws, it's very difficult to see how this doesn't end up in effect happening, because not everybody can fight and take their case to the Supreme Court. It's impossible to do that. And we saw under the Biden administration all kinds of additional pressures on Christians, going and locking up people for protesting, for praying outside abortion clinics, things like that, trying to say that if you oppose transgenderism or same-sex marriage, that means that you're out or that you're going to be losing your job. We've seen this kind of thing happen in the public services in the United States, but more importantly, we've seen it happen through corporations. Because pretty much every corporation in the United States has some kind of clause that says you will be dismissed if you bring the company into disrepute. And if you say, well, I'm a traditional Christian, I oppose your progressive ideology, that means that you're bringing the company into disrepute and that's it. They can kick you out and destroy your livelihood. And there's nothing that can change that other than very severe action from the executive against these kinds of corporations that is intended to bring them back into line. And as we had been discussing earlier on the podcast, the left is animated by cult-like beliefs. It is, in fact, a cult. They have their own version of religion in which essentially salvation comes from the mass integration where everybody holds hands together and sings Kumbaya, including with, you know, the trans and the gays and the minorities and the different religions and so on and so forth, so long as white Christians are excluded or are given second-class citizenship. And that's the entire purpose of the whole arrangement with DEI. And that arrangement with DEI is being pushed by companies like BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, which together control around 73% of all exchange-traded funds. Now, exchange-traded funds are basically funds that follow the index, so to speak. They, they can be any range of things, but exchange-traded funds are a way to hold equity indirectly through asset managers. And these three asset managers on their own control 75% of the market. And that makes them a massive target for some kind of anti-monopoly enforcement action. But the American government chooses not to take action against them, even under Trump. It chooses not to break up the entrenched financial power of the far left, which is inseparable from the banking sector and from these asset managers in particular, and especially those three, especially BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. Instead of moving against them and dismantling the institutional power that they hold and saying that they are engaged in anti-competitive practices and that therefore they should be broken up in the same way that back in the old days Standard Oil was broken up, the Trump administration sits on the sidelines and does nothing to actually break their institutional power. And this matters because they end up donating primarily to Democrats. And they end up donating primarily to funds that further the Democratic cause of further disenfranchising the people who actually built the United States. The people whose ancestors built the United States. That is to say, white Americans. This is the focus of American politics right now, institutionally speaking. And all the administration seems to be able to do is take some kind of very weak rear guard action against it without any real conviction. And on the religion front, I mean, you know, this is who Trump chose to be his faith leader, Paula White Cain. And she basically is a bit of a lunatic. I don't know any other way of describing it. She believes she had a vision of heaven. She's militantly pro-Israel. She's been in all kinds of relationships, as far as I can say. And this is who's leading the faith campaign for the United States, when what you actually need is basically a commitment to proper religiosity, centralized and strengthened. And then you look at the Protestants and they're all broken apart and in chaos, and you look at the Catholics, and my God, the Catholic Church in the United States is woke. American bishops are so woke. So the idea of having a sense of justice, of being willing to fight back, of willing to re-Christianize the country, that's not happening. Demographically, it's going in an incredibly negative direction, in a direction that simply cannot really work, and in a direction that furthers the American loss of identity, and with it, the American loss of confidence. And then you've got the oligarchic takeover of the United States. I mean, when you look at it, basically, it seems a bit hopeless, shall we say. Trump had the whole thing about ending the corruption, draining the swamp, all of that kind of stuff. But then when you see what's actually going on, people who are involved in the administration are taking hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars to push further lobbying. Biden had actually made an ethics pledge saying that, you know, if you leave the executive branch, you need to be out of it for 2 years before you lobby your former agencies, the people who used to work for. Trump at some point was saying it should be 5 years, but then he takes office and he just sort of, you know, completely destroys it and allows anybody with money to buy access to the administration. And you can sort of see how Trump has basically been broken in. I don't know if it was the assassination attempts. I don't know if it was the pressure. But now the main focus of Trump and the people around him is to just make as much money as possible, which, again, furthers the idea that there is zero confidence in what he is doing and what he's trying to achieve. And it doesn't really bode well. at all. They are breaking records in terms of how much money is being given to lobbyists in order to influence Trump. They're breaking incredible records. $5 billion for the first time. It's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things, but, you know, divided over a few contested congressional seats, which is all there is, because most congressional seats are safe for one party or the other. There's only like 100 out of the 500 that's actively, regularly contested. And you see this money going in to try to influence the administration, and all that it does is pretty much confirm that everything in the United States is bought and paid for, that there isn't going to be any action against the oligarchic classes that actually decide everything in the United States. And this is a problem because it fundamentally alters the democratic system. I would argue that the problem is democracy itself, because it can never work in the long term, and over time it just becomes cover for oligarchy. And eventually, that oligarchy turns into tyranny, and the only way to overthrow that tyranny becomes violence. The great promise of Trump was basically that he was going to drain the swamp and end this kind of corruption that happens via lobbying, which is legal, and that happens via the revolving door, as in you work at a government agency, then you work for a private company, then you go back to the government agency. All the time, the interests that you're actually serving are the private employers who can pay you far more than the government. Trump decided not to do anything on that. He decided to give up on it. And he decided to make his own money from it and to help his administration make money from it. And that goes to show you that the system has become so pervasive, so captured, that it can no longer be broken via the normal political methods. That's essentially what it shows you. And everybody around Trump is just making money on this. Pretty much everybody is making a killing on this. The banks are obviously spending a huge amount of money, but that's mainly in order to fight against the crypto bros. And the crypto thing looks really like a scam. So you've got usurers and scammers fighting each other for influence, busily trying to buy votes, and very little in the way of things that are actually productive, in the way of things that actually produce real, tangible items, refrigerators, televisions, computers, cars, airplanes. These are not the guys with influence in the United States. And for the most part, these manufacturers themselves are enormously influenced by the asset managers like BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard. These are the three biggest ones who hold big chunks of their shares, almost never majorities, but big enough to make them the loudest voice that everybody has to heed. And these guys have an agenda and an ideology, and they keep on pushing ESG with the objective of wokeifying the entirety of the corporate world at a time when the entirety of the academic world has been entirely wokeified. And this really matters because it is from there that the ideas and the industry come. There is this take on the right that you should just teach your kid to be a plumber. No. There's nothing wrong with being a plumber. But if you can join the elite, you should and you must reach the highest levels of attainment in order to join the elite. But the institutions that form the elites and that give them their career opportunities have all been pushed towards this extremist ideology that denies the role of the nation and the role of religion in shaping the values of the nation. And this can't hold on forever. This can't work forever. Especially because it is the people who are white and religious who overwhelmingly joined the American armed forces, who are the guys who are most willing to fight for the United States. So there is this massive cleavage in between the values of the elites that have been shaped over the last few decades and the institutions that control the large corporations that are absolutely necessary in a country the size of the United States, and the people who fight to keep the system where it is. There is this huge gap in values, and there is no reasonable way of bridging it. It is impossible to convince the left of anything because their actual objective, for example, in things like ESG, is to find ways of destroying you. That is their aim. That is what they're after. ESG, for those of you who don't know or don't remember, environmental social governance, these are scores. And I briefly worked tangentially around these things in a former life. And you rate every single company and every single policy on things like, are they green enough? Are they committed to cutting their carbon footprint? Do they give marriage benefits to same-sex couples? Do they have a trans inclusion policy? Do they have a DEI policy? Do they have a pro-migrant policy? Do they have policies essentially that discriminate against straight white men? And so this is being forced on all of society by the academic institutions and by the media and by the financial institutions that have an enormous amount of influence over every single corporation that is listed on a stock exchange. And if your company gets big enough and you want to take it to the next level, you have to list on a stock exchange because that is how you raise capital. Meaning that if you are a successful entrepreneur and you build a company that can go global, or at least in the United States, national and then global, you have to be subservient to the ideology of people like Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, and you have to embrace his values on transgenderism and environmentalism and immigration and so on and so forth for you to be able to build your company up. Which is important because if you want to succeed and then you want to lobby Congress in the opposite direction, you can't succeed unless you sell your soul. If you enjoyed this preview, please consider subscribing to lotuseaters.com starting for just £5 a month.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.